Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
How do they do this? They shove a hose in your ass.
I've never had it done, but the process is, it's a relief process that begins through pressure.
Water or air? What do they use?
I believe it's mostly a water-based.
Yeah, I guess they would blow you up like a balloon.
Yeah, they blow you up a balloon, and then the balloon deflates, and with it goes all of the refuse.
All of the shit.
Right.
So
it's kind of like the Republican primary season. Like, you fill up with Bachmans and Wests and...
Right, right. And then eventually you shit out of Romney.
Exactly. I, much like the Republicans, am getting a colonic later.
You
today.
Are getting a colonic. Like, in a couple of brief hours, you are actually going in and allowing... this is voluntary. It's not like getting a colonoscopy where you...
Right, but someone did think I was getting a colonoscopy. I just had another procedure done, and I called my doctor to make sure I could get a colonic. She's like, wait, you're getting a colonoscopy? That doesn't... And I was like, you're my doctor. I hate you.
Wow, that you don't know the term colonic?
Yeah, well, she did, but it was early morning. She hadn't had her colonoscopy yet.
Yes, but you understand that there's absolutely no medical proof that this does anything for you.
Yeah, but I just like the... like, I'm...
Did I just? I believe I just sort of went against the dogma of the Progressive Radio Network.
Well, there's no... dogs are not involved, nor are my mother's dogma. All right. Look, the point is, I don't know if it... but it's going to feel good. Like, don't you think removing a bunch of residual, that's the new word, crap, is going to feel nice?
I suppose if your colon's not working properly, because isn't that the job of
don't
the colon?
How many people out there have never felt bloated? We've all felt a little bloated, right? Like, let's get rid of the junk. Am I right, people?
So, I would just like to preface this episode of Cheater and the Rood, which is what you're listening to right now, with me, Lee Papa, the writer of the blog The Rood Pundit, is that my co-host...
Jeff Chrysler, author of Get Rich Cheating. Come to my show with Dylan Radigan on September 13th in New York City, getrichcheating.com.
That prior to... that right after the show, right after... He is pre... colonic. He is going to get a tube shoved up his ass, water, high pressure water put there, and then he is going to shit out a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, if listeners to our show have paid attention, they know that I am full of shit, so that's what I'm going to do this whole time, is load up on shit for the next 24 minutes, and then I'm going to get rid of it all.
Well, that's great. That's great. And I think that that in some ways, as you said, the Republican primaries, but your cleansing experience, perhaps we can say that this show is in some ways a cleansing experience for people.
Well, I like to think after a long day of reading crappy news, they can come on here and listen to us just...
get the high power flush out.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Does it require that much moaning?
Yes.
Or is that just what you're used to?
I don't
to?
Know what a colonic requires, but I know that, like, going through a day of reading posts about what...
Oh, I thought a day of anal intrusion was... that's... You know.
Wasn't that the name of Michelle Bachmann's husband's program?
Yes.
To cure
yes,
gay people was yes. Anal intrusion.
Anal, anti-anal intrusion.
Oh, or was it intervention?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anal intrusion.
No, not at all.
Not in any way, shape, or form. I just, you know.
I don't know if it's a complete stereotype, but I am one of those Jewish boys that likes a good poop. Like, I'm a good pooper. So the idea of some more poop happening... doesn't bother me. Again, it's why I'm interested in politics. Like, it's poopy, it's crazy, it's kooky.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like it. I like that I chose to say kooky as if I was keeping it clean here on Cheater and the Rood, Progressive Radio Network, every Thursday, 8 p.m.
Your place to go for talk about shit. So...
But while we're on the backside here...
Yes.
There was something that we weren't planning on talking about, but I noticed the other day the... overshadowed story of Libya falling because of Hurricane Irene, to some extent overshadowed, and how Obama's policy of, quote, leading from behind actually worked in a way, because, you know, it was that phrase was taken and the right ran with it, that Obama, he likes to lead from behind. America needs to be in front. We need to swing our cock out there and get it cut off because we are strong and beautiful people and I love fried chicken. That was a Kentucky
Wait,
Fried Chicken
what
thing.
What the hell was that?
That was like a Colonel Sanders
type. Oh, my God. Holy crap.
That wasn't a racist fried chicken. That was a Colonel Sanders type thing. Just, the point is, he led from behind by orchestrating, being subtle, behind the scenes, letting things move forward. And now the people of Libya, to whatever extent they are free and have their democracy, and we'll see how that works out. But whatever they've done it with a sense of doing it themselves. And ultimately, that's going to be for the best, as opposed to the quagmire that we're in Iraq and semi-Afghanistan. Because we did it for them.
You know what's funny is when the Soviet Union fell.
I was there.
And you were. You were actually in...
Well, I wasn't there when it happened, but I went the following summer, and I studied it. Anyway.
So, in other words, you just lied.
Yeah. Well, I meant I was
here. You just lied. You just lied.
I meant I was paying attention to it. Because it is, it's 20-year anniversary right now, and some people might go to my Facebook page and see my picture and think I'm not 20. And so, and especially with all this talk of colonoscopies and heart attacks, you're young and vibrant.
You know, what's funny is you are younger and in better shape than I am. Well, you were. And yet, and I'm in awful shape, really. I have the body of a 75-year-old man. And yet...
Inside a sack of potatoes.
Yes, yes. And yet, you're the one getting all these medical procedures.
I'm just cleaning house. I got a big spirit journey coming
but,
up.
But my point was, yes. You know, so the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of all the communist satellite states... Even,
I was there.
Yes, even though, even though there was the potential for descent into anarchy, even though... Though there was the potential for another kind of police state to rise, even though in the wake of it Yugoslavia descended into chaos, it's specifically because of the fall of the Soviet Union, Reagan is treated as in America as, oh my God, because of Reagan the Soviet Union fell. That being a debatable at best statement. We still give the Republicans, and in fact, all of them, many Americans give Reagan credit for that. However, in the Arab world now, the policies of President Obama could be seen as actually contributing to the end of the totalitarian states that existed in many Arab countries, and yet Republicans not willing to give Obama any credit at all, and in fact fearing the descent into anarchy as opposed to totalitarianism that they did not fear when the Soviet Union fell. I believe I have made a real point.
You have, and you could also have added what they were willing to overlook when they went into Iraq. In Afghanistan, that it didn't matter about descent into anarchy. Well, look, Republican hypocrisy is nothing new. I don't know if we want to spend the next 17 hours on the Soviet Union point you made up, but that was, as you may or may not know, what I studied in college. I spoke Russian. I went to Russia, taught English. That's why I was there when it all happened, or at least a year after.
You were there when the mafia took over, organized crime took over.
We were offered... it's a long story. I don't want to get distracted, but it's like the myth making, and the truth is, no, America had a role in the Soviet Union, but the role wasn't President Reagan standing up and saying tear down this wall. The role was the subtle influence of our culture and our freedom and the possibility that seeped into their culture and made people there want a little bit of a better life. And that is kind of the subtle leading from behind, which is, as someone said, is better to say behind closed doors than just behind, because that makes the black stereotype of liking butts again. It's a real problem with all the stereotypes out there.
Wow, you are really, you know, I'm sorry I started with colonic, because you're just anus focused today.
Yeah, fanus is actually.
Just continue with your Soviet right. Union point.
The point is, the fall of that giant empire came from subtle cultural influences and tweaks. It wasn't bold statements up front of stop it, stop it, stop it, which is what, you know, the cockswingers of the right want us to be. For them, it's not about the results, it's about the image in the process. And that image needs to be Uncle Sam with bared teeth carrying like a half-naked woman while fighting off a dragon. Sort of that old French Revolutionary post. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of
Which, ironically, the Republicans want to be like Frenchmen.
Wow. You just made leaps that I'm sorry. I was left behind. You know what? That heart procedures that you had, they've left you a little lighter on your feet. You're making these great leaps.
Speaking of heart procedures and leaps and...
Let me just conclude. Since you... rather than conclude your Libya point on the Soviet Union...
Yes.
Why don't instead we say that right now in Libya, and I'm reading Nicholas Kristof's article from today's New York Times, today being September 1st, and...
2011.
That it's just 9/11. That's kind of poignant. There's been barely any looting at all in Libya in the wake of the collapse of the Gaddafi regime. Other than the Gaddafi houses, they've been looted.
Because the people, it's like if you're in your neighborhood and something happens in your neighborhood, you help your neighbors. If you're in your neighborhood and some foreign body comes and, like, knocks shit down, you think no one's got control, no one's got respect for my neighborhood, why don't I take over everything? In Iraq, we went in there, we were the strangers that came in and knocked stuff down, and there's a sense of, you know, what's going on? No one is in control of my neighborhood, it's every man for himself. Whereas if the neighbors have risen up together to make change, you have respect for the land and the area.
And I need to man up here.
Man up.
I need to man up and say,
oh, yeah,
I opposed the Libya intervention.
Most people did.
I opposed it, and if it continues to go the way it's going, I am a strong enough person to admit, unlike virtually every pundit out there, I will admit that I was wrong.
Okay.
That I was wrong. Unlike every pundit, say, on Hurricane Irene.
Dun, dun, dun.
Segway, motherfucker.
I wanted to go. See, now I want to stick back in Libya for a second.
Oh, no.
I want to cut off
your ball. All right.
Let me ask you this question. Without having the tapes at hand, did you feel like, though, at the time of the Libya invasion, you would have preferred sort of subtle diplomacy as opposed, or just completely hand washing of it? Because, in essence, what's really the intervention we've had has been sort of subtle diplomacy on steroids, in that it's involved military action and death, which is horrible and what we opposed, but it hasn't been a full American-led invasion. And what I was trying to say, and what some people would say, is that subtle diplomacy has helped. Would you have preferred at the time when we were against the Libya invasion, I think both of us were, that it just was pure subtle diplomacy or not any involvement at all?
Well, you know what? I'll actually read you briefly from what I wrote at the time.
Bum, bum, bum. Then we'll go to the other stuff.
Yeah. I said, I really, really want to get on board with the whole Libyan totally not a war intervention. I want to be standing there waving my mighty fist of liberal rage and saying, fuck you, Gaddafi, and admiring how we're saving rebels. And as someone who back in the day was screaming, what the fuck, Clinton, with Bosnia and Rwanda, I wanted to jump on board. And my whole thing was that I can't trust that this would not be just another extended war that we would be involved in. I said that it ain't easy, and I'm still wrestling. I didn't want to watch people get slaughtered and do nothing like we were doing in Yemen and are doing right now in Syria. And
so is there
and I just thought that we're there to prevent a massacre. If we are we were there to prevent a massacre, my fear at the time was that we would just go in, walk away, and a massacre would still happen. But I was wrong.
Okay. You're wrong. Well, it's not completely concluded. Not everything's done.
No. But if Gaddafi's gone...
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. Speaking of a very good thing, why don't we take a short break here on Cheater and the Rude. We'll be back in several seconds. Welcome back.
Now to the dark side of Cheater and the Rude.
Really?
Yeah, the dark side of Cheater and the Rude. Okay. Actually, we just had a fairly serious discussion of the of Libya and compared it to the Soviet Union and all of that. Not to just recap what people just listened to, but we don't often get that serious.
Well, if it makes anyone feel better, I was. No, I'm not even going to say it.
You were touching yourself during it?
I was going to suggest
it. You were touching yourself during the whole thing.
Mentally.
I was wondering what you were doing under the table.
I was prepping for my cologne.
You just undercut the entire segment by masturbating all the way through it.
I didn't say masturbating. I didn't even say anything, but what I was thinking of saying...
You had your hand down, you were under the balls, you were massaging your taint, it was right there.
I'm getting a colonic, Lee. And much like the Republican Party in the primaries, I had to feel Ron Paul and feel Michelle Bachmann.
Is that what you call yourself, Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann?
I do. They are both full of life-giving juice.
How was the Hurricane Irene for you?
Speaking of life-giving juice, it was all right. I actually, we weren't sure if we were going to stick it out, but I just got out of the hospital and was unable to do anything, so we thought at best we skedaddled and went to some friend's family's house.
Now, which friends did you end up going to?
Well, we had a couple options. We went with the better ones. One of the options was to go and stay with this blogger guy who I was like, no, I don't want to go to someone's mom's basement. And
it's sad because it's true.
Yeah, and I'm sad because I'm Jew. I just like to rhyme. It was good. We live in Hoboken. Stalkers take note. And as many people saw on national news, even Hoboken was mostly evacuated or asked to evacuate. A lot of flooding. A lot of friends flooding. We survived fine. Lost a what do you call those things across the top with the water collecting gutter? A gutter came off. But otherwise, fine. And I love the people that are like, oh, it was fine. It was easy. It was no big deal. Just a little water. Yeah, tell people in Vermont. Tell my friends who, like, their house in Vermont, there's literally two roads coming in. Both of them are wiped out, and they have a newborn, and they're just kind of hanging out there.
Oh, tell my friends that are still without power and won't expect in Connecticut and in New Jersey and can't expect the power back till maybe next Wednesday. Minor storm. Howard Kurtz, I believe, was
oh, he douche-nozzled it up.
Oh, he totally douche-nozzled it about media overreaction. And it's like, dude, Paterson, New Jersey is kind of fucked.
Well, yeah, I love that his essential Uber point was that the media doesn't get it. When he is then being the media not getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's like, you know what, because my office building in Tribeca.
Yeah.
Was not a fan. And then because Dylan got to still go see Caitlin for a play date. By the way, I'm pretty sure Howard Kurtz does not have children named Dylan or Caitlin. Oh, that's not the point.
That would be great. That would be great. I want to think that he has total douchebag names for his kids.
Speaking of douchebag names, Eric Cantor came out with his classy move, which we discussed. Every time there's a disaster, Eric Cantor won't pay for it, which you think would make him boycott the Republican primaries. Kaboom! Kabam! Kaboom!
No. That was good. That was a nice way to relate two topics. Yeah, yeah. What did Eric Cantor do this time?
He said, again, like he said with the tornadoes out in Joplin, was it? He said, we're not going to pay for it unless it's offset by cutting something somewhere, which is just... And, of course, as everyone, it only took a day for them to find the hypocrisy of him saying the opposite a few years ago.
Voting against a bill to offset the cost of an emergency supplemental for hurricane relief in 2004. You want to know what else? Would you like some other fun facts?
I want more.
So some more fun facts here, Eric Cantor. Eric Cantor praised FEMA for giving money to help his district
after
Tropical Storm Ernesto. You know, FEMA had first said, wow, my voice is all kinds of
well,
fucked
Ernesto
right now.
Was also an immigrant name, so
yes,
that was
yes.
He could put it underneath that.
But you see, at first, FEMA had declined to give money to Cantor's district, saying that it really wasn't that bad and state and local authorities could take care of it. But Eric Cantor went to FEMA and begged them for more money, federal money, to go to his district to help with hurricane relief.
You understand, government money is only bad when it goes to those people. Whenever those people need it for food or shelter or education or roads or schools or fire or police, it's a problem.
Yeah, and Eric Cantor then said in 2007, after FEMA gave them money, "I am pleased to see that FEMA has come to the aid of residents of the city of Richmond." So he also secured FEMA grants for first responders in his area over the years. He, so let's just say that we don't want to say it's because there's a Democratic president that all of a sudden now disaster relief needs to be offset, but it's because there's a Democratic president that now all of a sudden...
I want to try to think back a little bit. I want to think back to when Mitch McConnell, right after the inauguration, said his number one job was to make sure the president didn't get reelected. Like, are there people that still doubt that the Republican platform is make everything terrible, is make things horrible so that we get rid? Like, just whether it's people dying in hurricanes or no one getting jobs, or just make the only thing that they seem to be talking about making better is our debt, which no one feels. I mean, I'm not saying it's insignificant. Everything else is let's do whatever we can, however we can, to make everything terrible. Let's get Wisconsin teachers to quit. Let's get people to die. Look, I talked about this before. Like, when Bush was in office, I think us on the left couldn't stand. I thought he was enacting policies that were terrible. But we still didn't actively root for failure. We hoped somehow against hope that it might turn out. And Republicans strike me as, I've said this before, that in tandem skydiving, there's a guy with a parachute attached to a guy in the front that's an amateur. And the Republicans are like the guy in the front going, "I hope that guy's parachute don't open. And it's just going to kill us all."
Well, I like to think of it, you know, we've often talked about on the left that that Democrats behave like the abused spouse in a relationship to Republicans. But now it's almost as if Republicans have gone beyond the abusive spouse to America and are now saying, you know, I'm going to cut your face so that nobody will ever want to fuck you again. That's the way they're treating America now. They've got the razor up right against the eye. And they're about to just tear into that face and say, "America, you are now going to be so ugly that nobody's going to want to be near you, so you'd better stay with me."
First of all, that's a very disturbing image. I hope no one up there was upset. But second of all, I think you have to even twist your image a little more or a little to the left. It's not just so you're ugly and no one will be with you, it's so you can't leave me is the point. So you cannot leave me. Because that's what the point of making someone hurtful and pain and broken is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a healthy way to be in a relationship. I mean, if you're going to be...
Yeah. So we've got...
Speaking of killing people and making it worse...
Uh-oh. What are you going to talk about?
Dum, dum, da-dum, dum, da-dum, dum, da-dum. Dick Cheney's book. Dum, dum, da-dum, dum,
you're scaring me, man. You're scaring me.
Dick Cheney wrote a book. That is the first chapter in Dick Cheney's audiobook.
And what should how should we all react? How should we all react
to Dick Cheney's?
Run! It's Godzilla!
Dick Cheney is back. You guys know. I mean, everyone out there is aware that Dick Cheney is a robot, right?
Yes. He this is what his heart sounds like. You want to hear? This is what his heart sounds like. That's Dick Cheney's heart. It doesn't beat. It's just this quiet whir.
You know, and like a Macintosh computer or a laptop, you can't put it down on a pillow because then the vents won't let the heat out and it'll overheat.
Really?
And it'll invade Syria. Just his heart, not his whole body.
That's awesome.
Do you know that Dick Cheney's heart actually won the Vietnam War?
Did it really? How did it do that?
Well, it was busy. The body was getting a lot of deferments and was avoiding war so it could, like, build up its credentials as a tough guy. And the heart actually went over, and because it was such pure evil, it fought on the side of the North Vietnamese.
Wow. And because of that...
That's why... Well, I'm not saying we didn't... America didn't win, but the other side...
The other side won because Dick Cheney's heart was there.
Yes.
Yes, but his body was not, because as we know, he got 5 deferments because of health reasons and also because he was raising a lovely, lovely family. Lovely family.
Right. That, do you know that his heart got removed through a colonic?
Really?
But back in the 60s, they were so, like, hemped out that what they did then was they just looked at someone and their heart came out their ass. Are we just going to have a little moment of silence for the
Vietnamese dead, for the missing and dead in Vietnam? Well, I have not read. Actually, I have read a couple of small portions of Dick Cheney's book, and there's some really, really, I mean, truly funny stuff. And this is real. This is not shit I'm making up.
Can we do this bad accent theater style, or
do you want me to read it like Cheney?
Yeah. Right, I'll do a quick intro. We only got a few minutes left, so... Welcome to Bad Accent Theater! Dick Cheney book style!
I could just do the, you know, the stereotype penguin voice, but instead I'll do... My mother, who had a penchant for keeping scrapbooks, saved the bill for my delivery. Exactly $37.50.
That's retarded.
Yes. Hang on. Here we go. Here's Dick Cheney. We're learning very, very subtle, wonderful things about Dick Cheney.
You're not keeping your accent, Lee.
No.
I haven't ended bad accent. And,
well, no, but this I'm transitioning. I don't remember much of my early schooling, but a kindergarten report card my mother saved notes that I seemed a little self-conscious when speaking before the group. Wow, he's becoming more and more like a pirate.
You know what? I found most accents end up being pirate accents, eventually.
Yes. This is what he said about saying, go fuck yourself, to Patrick Leahy.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the campaign summer, Senator Pat Leahy conducted a conference call as a campaign surrogate in which he suggested I was being dishonest and dishonorable and was profiting from Halliburton business while I was vice president. I used a colorful epithet to suggest what he could do to himself and stepped away. It was probably not language I should have used on the Senate floor, but it was completely deserved.
And that was another episode of Bad Accent Theater with Dick Cheney as the Compassionate Vader.
Ah, Compassionate Vader. Nobody likes Compassionate Vader.
Darth Empathy?
Yes, I'd like to end with my favorite story.
2.5 minutes to do it.
2.5 minutes to do it. My favorite story from this week, do you want to know what it is?
It's time for Lee's favorite story of the week!
This is where something odd and probably violent occurs, and it amuses me to no end.
Is that what every story of the week is going to be, odd,
yes,
violent?
Yes, it is. It is going to be odd and horrifically violent.
Okay, I hope violence is broadly defined.
Well, not in this case.
Okay.
So, there's a guy in Virginia, and he was in a domestic dispute. He went to his ex-wife's house and decided that that he wanted to prove something to his ex-wife.
Prove it.
So he tied a cable around his neck and had tied the cable off to something and got in his SUV and he floored it. And what that did was he decapitated himself.
Hmm. Again, much like the Republican primaries. He's like, I want to prove something to all those people out there about how bad Obama is, so I'm going to strap myself to this Bachman, and then I'm going to throw an Alan West on the floor.
I love this. I love that the media, by the way, keeps trying to make John Huntsman the candidate. And
Because he's the last hope of media.
It's like desperate. Oh, please, let there be somebody rational. But he's polling at 1%. And sorry, the crazy SUV people are the ones that are ready to go.
We're all ready to go.
We are.
I'm ready to get in that SUV. I'm ready to throw a rope around my Bachman. And
you're ready to go get a colonic, sir.
I'm ready to clean house. Everybody, this has been what?
This has been Cheater and the Rude.
Every Thursday, 8 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. Listeners, September 13th, go to GetRichCheating.com. Big show, cheating show with my guest Dylan Radigan. We got to sell this baby out. 2-for-1 tickets to Cheater and the Rude listeners.
If you don't know who Dylan Radigan is, he's on your MSNBC. MSNBC host with Jeff Chrysler on stage. Check it out. Lee Papa right here.
Jeff Chrysler right here. Thanks, everybody.
See you next week.